I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about When Marnie Was There, which was actually a recommendation by Angel. So, you know, good on him. Good on them for giving us another solid recommendation. You know,
another kick in the gut.
You know, it's all right. But before that, we were talking about, you know, honestly, we were just largely reminiscing about a lot of different things. If you want to catch part of that wider conversation, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. Dollar a month will get you access to that bonus content and more. Now on to the meat and potatoes. When Marnie Was There, sorry.
Yeah, I was staying quiet on purpose this time because I was trying to wait, because I always jump in and be like, oh, remember this? And you're like, I didn't even tell anything yet.
I know, I was expecting it and it threw me off. It really did. It threw me off. You know, it's perfect timing too, because CJ decided to drop in right when we're starting too. So there you go. Can't go wrong with that. All right. When Marnie Was There originally aired in July 2014. The studio for it is Studio Ghibli. Producers for it are Dentsu, Toho, Disney, Japan, Nippon Television. It's based off of a novel. The genres for it are drama, mystery, psychological. And the runtime was for about an hour and 42 minutes.
It didn't feel like it.
It did not.
It felt a little shorter.
It did. It did. I'm also going to say that I for sure I had thought I'd seen this before, and and most assuredly I did see it before, and I had a deeper appreciation for it this time than I did the first time I watched it, simply because I was able to pick up on some of the subtleties, on the differences that were there in between the two. You know,
I can absolutely see that.
It was And it was a nice revisit for me too, you know.
Well, I mean, this, you know how they say nothing in life is coincidental. Everything has a purpose and everything is done on purpose. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, they say it. I don't know who they are, but it's been said.
The powers that be, the man, the everything else. Yeah, no, I get it. I got you.
This movie comes at a rather interesting time for me. Unfortunately, my pet, who's been with me for a long time, a few years, almost 20, passed away yesterday. And I was reminiscing in my head and wasn't feeling very good. And it made me remember a few things on this movie. So I watched it again. And watching it a second time, I kind of agree with you in the sense of the second time through, you pick up on the subtleties that you kind of miss on the first go through it. And the reason why I bring up my pet is because this movie also deals with death, not as directly, but you kind of,
I mean,
going through it the first time, I was like, oh, this is totally what it is. They talk about ghost stories. They talk about like, don't go to the silo. There's ghosts in there. Don't go to the mansion. There's ghosts in there. And then, you know, I don't know if you want to consider them ghosts or some sort of time loop that happened or whatever. But this whole movie, I feel like, was fantastically put in a, I guess, a healing format.
Yeah.
Like, the person who needed it most saw what they needed to see and was part of what they needed to be part of.
Yes.
And that, yes. I realize this is all a roundabout way of saying, you know, love your pets. They're freaking awesome. because they'll help you way more than you think.
That is very, very true. However, this movie doesn't deal with death in that fashion. It also doesn't deal with pet deaths at all.
Oh no, it has nothing thankfully. To do with pet deaths.
So,
thankfully.
That would have destroyed you know, there's me. None of that in this. So, you know, just to kind of help bring some clarification to this, no pets, no animals died in this movie or anything like that. And it deals with death in a very indirect way. I will agree with you in that. One of the things that it kind of really does is you don't understand or you don't know like what's really kind of going on for our main character, Anna. And she has a very English name. It's not short for anything else other than her name is literally Anna.
Yeah.
Now, granted, she has a very traditional Japanese last name, which is, you know, to be expected. Mm-hmm. But being that this was actually based off of a book written in 1967 by a European author. So this is a European book. So much like how Adventures in Slumberland was based off of an American book, this is based off of a European book that has an adaptation into Japan. Now, this also isn't a Miyazaki film, actually. This is Hiromasa Yonebayashi. He's the one that directed this. The screenplays are by Masahi Ando, Keiko Niwa, for a couple of them. But there is no Miyazaki named tied to this, right? So, and traditionally, for me personally, I've always associated Ghibli with Miyazaki, right?
Yeah.
But that's not the case. And on the one that CJ and I did only yesterday, the movie called Only Yesterday, that one also is not a Miyazaki. Now, that one kind of follows more so along the lines with the traditional views that Miyazaki's always held. This one, I feel like it doesn't. It doesn't follow the same line, the same format that he's always done. And I would hope that this kind of stays truer to the source material, to the novel.
Okay.
Because in terms of like how it's presented, how it's portrayed, how the story is being told.
Sorry, you lost me there for a second. I was trying to figure out why, but no, that makes perfect sense. But as far as the Studio Ghibli goes, and now the director sounds familiar. Is there any particular reason for that? Have we seen him before? You know?
You're
the info guy.
Yes. He is the director, or he was one of the animators actually for Spirited Away. He was an animator for Howl's Moving Castle, for Ponyo. He was the director for The Secret World of Arrietty.
You know what? That makes a lot of sense. Considering how this movie went, that makes a lot of sense. Okay. No, because I was like, that name sounds familiar. I don't do faces very well, but names kind of trigger sometimes, you know?
Yeah. So he's been an animator in a lot, but this was his one of the two films that he's directed. So he directed The Secret World of Arrietty and When Marnie Was There. And ironically, these are both UK adaptations, right? So The Borrowers, The Secret World of Arrietty was a depiction or what's the word I'm looking for? Rick, help me out here.
An adaptation and reimagining
okay. of The Borrowers for The Secret World of Arrietty. The differences between this and that one is When Marnie Was There, that was the actual name of the book. So that's another reason why I'm going along with the comment of I'm hoping they stayed truer to the source material because they kept the name.
Well, I mean, will we ever find out? Because
I haven't read the book. I mean, like, I haven't read the book. The only way we would know is if we read the book. Have you read the book?
I haven't.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, let's leave it with hopes and don't try to crush my dreams, sir.
No, you're good. You're good. No, because I was just thinking to myself, like, as far as The Borrowers go, we've got multiple renditions, so we'd be able to see a lot of the stuff. And, you know, it's more common. It's a more common story that any adaptation with a difference would be noted. So that's why I would say that with the Borrowers or the Secret World of Arrietty, any discrepancies we would notice right away and we would feel a little bit slighted. Whereas here, I'm not familiar with the material. I'm not familiar with the source, you know? And I don't think I've ever seen... I mean, I've seen stories similar to this, but I've never seen this story told in a different light.
True, but you also have to keep in mind, you originally thought that the live action with John Goodman and the Secret World of Arrietty were very close. So, I mean, like, that's...
I don't know
how... how much I can trust that
opinions
comment.
Vary. Opinions vary.
Well, it's not a matter of opinions. It's like you at first you were saying, no, they're totally carbon copies. And then I pull up the trailer. They're totally not carbon copies.
I mean, the heart sees what it wants to see.
That is very true. That is 100% true. There is no denying that. Your heart always has been that way.
For good or bad.
It wants to. You know what, sir? You know what? You just have that fiery passion in your eyes, like a sweet JP, getting ready to boost timelines, like the time traveling granddaughter.
I'm just saying. It makes sense. It makes a more interesting story. You know, I feel like our review was worth more than the actual show, but that's just
you'll never know. You've never seen it. So, you know, hey,
this is true.
You know what?
This is
like true. CJ says, you say tomato, I say potato. You know, it's like, yeah,
it's close edible. Enough. That's all that matters.
Exactly. Well, as long as it's prepared and not too green, then potatoes are edible. Potatoes are edible.
Oh, man. We got off topic.
Kind of hard, but that's all right. I mean, that's okay, though. I mean, this movie, this show, honestly doesn't have... It's not very deep, I want to say. It's actually very... A lot of it's very surface, right?
Yeah, and I think that was done that way on purpose.
Exactly. So you have, like, the main character, Anna, right? Which, going back to what I was originally saying, she has... Her name is Anna. It's not short for anything else. It is Anna. And then you're learning... kind of like, well, she's depressed, she's sad, she's not happy, she's kind of like very monotone, she keeps her feelings kind of in check.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start like seeing her kind of open up and she's happier, she's enjoying life a lot more. And it's not so much that her parents, or rather her adoptive family, was being mean to her, it was more so along the lines of like she didn't feel like she could properly express herself. And then at the same time, she had this weight and depression kind of pushing down on her. And in the movie, she calls her guardians, her adoptive parents, aunt and uncle, or auntie and uncle. And unless you actually watch the movie and you watch it in its entirety all the way through, that never makes sense until the end.
Well, I figured everything would tie in. Studio Ghibli's very good at storytelling, they're very good, typically, at referencing things initially. Like, I could have probably, in all honesty, I could have probably guessed that somehow Annie was related to Marie. Somehow.
To Marie? You
know? But, yeah.
Do you mean Marnie?
I was close.
I mean,
is it really Marnie?
Yes.
It's not Marie.
No, there is an N. Marnie.
I watched it subs and it never registered.
It's because you were thinking about my little bebos, my little puppy, Marie. My little puppy, Marie.
Yeah, it never registered. Marnie. Okay. Yes. I mean, you said it originally when Marnie was there. I was like, that's close. I'm not going to correct you, but it's fine. But I'm glad I didn't, because that would have that would have been pie on my face. Yeah. Okay. So I figured, just rewinding that back a bit, I figured that Marnie and Annie were related somehow. I couldn't quite figure out how. And then when you hear the story,
it makes total sense. You're like, yeah. Oh,
okay. Kind of. Sort of. I assume. I hope. I pray. And I And then when you finally do make that connection, you end up going, oh, sweet. So I was correct. I didn't know how this made sense, but it still goes back to the, is it a time traveling thing? Because it was not only communication, there was interaction. There was food that was consumed. So,
right. So it also could have been all a matter of her imagination, and it's not necessarily her being time traveled or a time loop or anything like that. It could have been more so being kind of in a manner of speaking spirited away or spirited into a spirit realm, because when she's there during a certain point of the day at that mansion, it looks
decrepit.
Yeah. However, she's been inside the mansion. She's been inside there and she's reliving portions of the actual life dealing with Marnie. So the party, the flower girl, and everything like that. And then it goes back to have that story retold. And what I personally think it is her subconscious was kind of overtaking, because she was out there drawing and everything like that. And she passed out. She would fall asleep and she would invent these whole scenarios in her mind to her belief, right? Only to realize towards the end that she was actually remembering the stories that her grandmother was telling her.
So how do you explain the fact that she was able to draw Marnie so well?
Probably because when she was living with her, she saw pictures of her when she was younger.
Damn, I thought I had a good one. I thought I had a good argument to be like, boom. But no, that makes sense.
Because she did live there. And you do see Marnie telling her the stories.
Yeah, and it just turned into a real sad story.
It did.
Like,
it was very it was very sad, right? And CJ in our chat, he goes, so she's a plagiarizer. And he's just like, no, she's not plagiarizing. So what happens is in her mind, she's reliving these events that's going on with Marnie and revolving around Marnie. And she remembers this house and she's just very drawn to this house that's just like kind of out there in the boonies. And there's a diary in there, and everything in the diary, she's like reading the diary that this other girl has found, right? Only to realize like all these stories, all these things that are happening right now, or that happened to me, you know, actually did happen. It's not that I was there. It's someone else. And so I guess her own internal conflict was kind of like trying to sort everything out, trying to figure everything out.
So what I think they really did a good job with is dissociation. Obviously, if we go along with the thought that she already had all this information in her head, it was just regressed and put away and pushed away. Yep. And she's currently at the time she was currently in a spot where she couldn't or wouldn't show emotion, happy, sad, left, right, not a thing. And she was emotionally not challenged, but emotionally
damaged.
Emotional damage. No, emotionally distant from everybody on purpose. And it's quite interesting, in my opinion, because the way that it is portrayed and the way that the feeling I get off of this is when she's around everybody and in school, she is a recluse.
Yes.
She uses her asthma as an excuse. I had asthma as a child. So, I mean, well, child, well, teenager, adult, and it can be used as an excuse 100% of the time, and people eat it up like nothing. I got out of assignments because I was like, I'm sorry, I had to go to the hospital, asthma attack, and nobody checked twice.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. It's not, she was using that as part of the crutch, but it wasn't her being a recluse solely because of that or because of other things. But what largely led to it was she had found papers, because she is an adoptive child, right? She's in being taken care of by her aunt and uncle. she comes across paperwork saying that they're going to get more money now to take care of her. And so it kind of just broke her view in that she doesn't feel like she has anyone that truly cares about her, that truly loves her. She thinks that she's only being taken care of because someone's paying them to take care of her, not necessarily because they want to take care of her.
Yes. And so it took me a long time, like most of the movie. Actually, no, that's a lie. It took the entirety of the movie, to figure out why that mattered. And I was like, that makes absolutely no sense. Like, if someone got paid to watch me, let them get paid to watch me. I mean, that my opinion of my place in the house, assuming I was in this situation and assuming the knowledge I had prior to the end of the movie, I figured, like, you know, what happens, you know, when your parents die, you go to your next of kin, which happened to be the aunt. And the, you know, I figured that happens. And the fact that the aunt was getting some sort of subsidy for it, I figured it is what it is. You know, it had no effect on me. And I was very curious why it had such an effect on her. And then you realize, no, her parents didn't die and she was sent off to her aunt. No, her parents died and she was sent off to her grandma. And then her grandma died and then she was sent off to her aunt. Now, the assumption that I have that I walked away with was that the aunt was the next of kin. You know, the aunt was the one that was next of kin. But now looking at it, maybe it's possible that she was thinking the aunt had the option to take her before the grandma took her. And the aunt was like, I don't have time for kids. I don't want kids. And then had to be bribed with money in order to assume responsibility. That's the only way I can see that making that connection. But I wouldn't have known that halfway through the movie.
Right, but that's not how it was. And then you have Hisako, who told the story that her grandmother fought and wanted to take care of Anna because her child, you know, she lost her child and and her husband, they both died in a car accident very, very tragically. Mm-hmm. And because she didn't want to lose that connection, she wanted to take the child. And so she took the child, kind of not really letting anyone else have a say in it.
Have a say so. Yeah.
Because I'm not familiar with those laws or anything like that, but I think that paternals or grandparents in terms of hierarchy get, like, they're the first ones contacted and then it's like
aunts, honestly, uncles, I'm not sure.
Things like that. I'm not sure. I'm just going off of the assumption. Or she went.
My only knowledge.
Yeah, she sorry, only.
My only.
go ahead. It's all right, Rick. Go.
Oh, okay. I appreciate it. I'll take the floor. My only interaction and my only knowledge comes from anime, to be perfectly honest. So, like, yeah, I don't know what the actual laws are.
Right. And I've had some friends that were adopted and they were going through the process and they were being adopted by their grandparents. They had aunts and uncles and things like that, but they were all inevitably adopted by their grandparents first. So I don't know the full story as to why it is. I mean, like, I'm not going to go out and be like, hey, why are you letting your grandparents instead of your aunts? I'm not going to go up and ask that. That's dumb. It's not my place. I don't need to know. It's not my place to know. Do I want to know now? Yes, mainly because I want anime. Answers to the anime. But that's personal lives. I could care less. I could care less about their personal lives, like whatever it is. But I would love answers to the anime. That's my thing.
Yeah.
But this was that would be my assumption, right? The because Hisako says she wanted to have Anna in her life. She wanted to adopt her and raise her and do everything that she could for her and raise her to be the child, do everything better that she didn't do with her own child. And you learn the story and backstory behind that whole thing, which is completely understandable. And that whole story. And when you finally get to that story, when you finally reach it, it's not like you're completely blindsided by it, because Hisako or she literally says, Yeah, it's not, it doesn't end happily. It's a pretty sad story what actually happens. It's like, oh, well, that's a great premise. And then at first it starts off all happy, you know, you learn about this life and then all the stories and everything like that. And it still all starts clicking for Anna, and it just progressively, and then it just starts tumbling down the hill. Like, oh,
it starts not clicking.
Right. It's like, oh, well, this is just depressing.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I got a question.
I might have an answer.
I got a question.
I might have an answer.
I'm thinking we should probably make a t-shirt. I got a question.
All right.
That said, do you think that there are certain people in this world who have a destiny to have a really sad life?
I think it is your destiny, Rick, to not receive an answer for that question.
Oh, hurtful. Hurtful. Now my life is sad. You've done this to me.
No, sir. But no, sir, I mean, sir, it is your destiny. to quote Star Wars, there is. God.
But let's see you pull this out of your hat. Let's go. What you got?
Do or do not. There is no try. And just like everything in our universe, there is no luck. There is only the Force.
Ooh, that last part's nice. I'm not familiar with that last part, but my dad might have something to say. Oh, geez, CJ. Gotta love him.
Sorry, CJ. Look, this movie was good. All right. This movie was good. All right. CJ says, stay tuned. The next episode of Featured Anime Live, just with a lot of filler between. Look. This movie was good, but what makes it good isn't necessarily that the movie is so in depth. It's that you can have these side off conversations or tie it to everything else kind of going off.
Yeah.
In our own lives, in our own worlds, and what's happening, the do's and don'ts and everything in between, and the interactions of people and how people interact with each other and everything going on with it. So,
well, I mean, a good story like this promotes conversation like we're having. It asks questions that does, and they don't give answers.
Much like the questions you ask sometimes, they don't deserve answers.
I mean,
answers.
I'm thought provoking. I'm a gift that keeps on giving.
You know, thought provoking is not the phrase I would use, but we'll go with that.
It's a phrase that people have used in the past.
Not for you, but that's nice.
I never said it was for me. I just said they used it. Anyway, the animation quality on here was really good. I felt really consistent.
Yes.
There were some people who I felt were blurred, but that could have just been an on purpose choice.
Yeah.
I don't really see many accidents here. I don't really see much laziness, but you don't expect that from Studio Ghibli. You expect damn near perfection.
Yes.
And that's kind of what you get here. You have the music. Did you notice a lot of the music? I didn't. I only noticed at like peak stressful times.
Right. The music wasn't a focal point, a center point for this anime, which I thought was very well done, very, very beautiful, because this wasn't a story that needed to have the music help carry it through. It was there kind of like just to enhance the scene a little bit, but it could have been just as good without. And it's not like it was put in there sloppily either. It was put in when it needed to be in there with the tempo that it needed to be and with the music that it needed to be. So
I liked it. I mean,
it was good.
Given the timing of it, I don't think I'd watch it again immediately. But
yeah,
it's definitely something that I'd show other people. It's definitely something I'd recommend for other people, because it's, if you just take the story on base value, it's a damn good story. It's got a fantastic plot. Mm-hmm. And it's got twists and turns that keep you guessing until about 2 minutes till the end, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think I guess too much, but I don't think that's the point. I think they're, by the end of the movie, they're trying to give it all away if you haven't figured it out yet.
I mean, I think we've pretty much touched on everything that we really can.
Unfortunately, yeah. It's fairly a simple story with a simple outcome. I liked it. I don't know if I'd give it a 10, but It's not a zero. It's something I plan on watching again in the future with my significant other. Maybe even with CJ, if he's never nice to me. But, you know.
Fair enough.
Oh, goodness. Oh, I think we're ready for a rating. What about you?
I agree, sir. So on a scale of up to 10, how would you rate this?
I'm going to say I feel like this was a solid, a strong 8, soft 9. I'm going to have to go with an 8. Like, I want to give it a 9, but I don't know. I feel like if there was a little bit more of something intangible, like there was nothing wrong with what they showed. But if they don't, I don't know, something was missing for me to give it a higher than an 8, you know?
Okay. No, I get you. I mean, like, were you hoping for a little bit more?
Time traveling,
they had destiny. Were you hoping for a little bit more destiny in this? Maybe a little bit of luck?
I don't think. Well, I mean, they did have time traveling grandchildren, which was cool. So that ticks a box. You know what? 9.
See, like Obi-Wan says, there is no such thing as luck.
Oh, dear Lord.
All right. For me, I'm going with a 9. I enjoyed it. It was very, very well done. You know what? Let me think on that for a second here. Let me think.
Don't talk yourself out of a 9. What, in your opinion, could have made it a 10?
Well, that's what I was thinking about, right? That's what I was saying. I was like, let me truly think about this, right? What in this is honestly keeping it from a 10?
I can't put my finger on it, but I feel like something is.
The only thing that I can think of that would actually keep it from a 10 for me, and it has nothing to do with the story. It has to do with a couple of the characters, in all honesty.
The interaction?
No, that, you remember the old lady that one girl that's super bossy?
The pig.
Sure.
That's the only thing. I don't remember her beyond being called a fat pig.
Okay. She, like, I get it. Kids will be kids, but I did not like her. And I did not like her to the point to where that's the only thing that would be keeping it from a 10 because of her whole interaction and everything. I mean, like, I get it. It has to do with the story and it was written in there. It
felt forced. Blah, blah,
blah, blah. Yeah, but it felt, yeah, it did. And then the, how their interactions were for the whole, I disliked the couple of the interactions having to deal with them, the Osakas and everything like that. So, you know, that's the only thing that's keeping it from a 10. I'll let you all come to your own conclusion and how you feel about it yourselves. But that's 9 for me, 9 for Rick.
Yep.
All right. So next week is it's kind of like a co-choice between Rick and recommendation from CJ. And it's going to be something we haven't done in a long time. It's not going to be a movie. It's going to be a series. And it's going to be My Dress Up Darling. Yep.
So
yep.
I didn't even know CJ had recommended it, to be perfectly honest. So,
yeah.
I mean, I like it. It's going to be good. I hope.
It's 12 episodes long. And they, when asked why we needed to watch it, CJ said that they think it's a cute anime and it's tastefully etchy.
It's etchy.
Yes.
Okay. So it might be one of my top tens then. Who knows?
Exactly. Especially if you're going to be par for the course. Yes.
Most
certainly.
I think I don't like ecchi on principle. And the fact that you keep showing me stuff, then you're like, do you like it? Well, what is it? Oh, let me see if you like it first. I'm like, it's not horrible. It's actually pretty good. And you're like, ecchi, gotcha.
It's like, no, I totally hate ecchi. It's trash. It's horrible. Horrible. Hate it. Cool. What do you rate it then? I rate this a 10. Perfect. It was an ecchi, by the way. Shit. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, at least I can walk into this knowing that I'm going to hate myself afterwards, but we'll see.
Maybe I should have saved that comment for after the fact.
I'm thinking. Yeah.
See, there you go. See. All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did too much justice, not enough justice, feel free to let us know. You can reach out to us. We have all our contact information listed in the show notes. You can also go to our website, featuredanimepodcast.com. Go there. We have all our links and everything like that for it there in the show notes. We do have a affiliate link for you if you want to catch part of the wider conversation that we usually have, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will get you access to that bonus content. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick, and we'll see you next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.